I want to preach on Noah's Ark. That's what I've entitled this message, Noah's Ark. Probably most people in the United States of America have heard the story of Noah's Ark. I think of all the children's Bible stories, and they'll have pictures of arks with giraffes and elephants sticking their heads out, smiling, and it's looked upon as a children's Bible story. The story of the ark is the story of God telling Noah to build an ark. It was a floating vessel, very much like a barge. If you would picture a shoebox in your mind, that's about what the ark was shaped like. It was not meant to sail, but to float. And God said, make that ark because I'm going to destroy everything that has breath. Animals, men. And the reason he was going to destroy the earth, everything that has breath, was because of sin. Look in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, cruelty. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh, no exceptions to that rule, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now this vessel was to be large enough to house thousands of animals that were preserved along with Noah and his family to repopulate the earth. Now, this vessel was for salvation. That's very important. The judgment could have taken place without the vessel, but this vessel was for salvation. Now, look in verse 17 of chapter 6. Behold, I, even I, this is God speaking, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Now that's the first time the word covenant is used in the scripture. And it's the same word that is the New Testament or the New Covenant. Same word. He says to Noah, I'm going to destroy everybody. But, kind of like, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We considered that last week. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. Now this is the way God's covenant works. I will, and thou shalt. I will, and thou shalt. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now, which of us have not wondered how one vessel could hold so many different species and many thousands of animals? Well, I can't give a scientific explanation for that. I don't feel any need to. The Bible is the inspired word of God. All scripture. This is what it claims for itself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. Now, as I said, I don't feel a need to give a scientific explanation of how so many species could fit into this one boat. I don't know. But I love what Donnie Bell said about the Bible. If the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. And I would too. I believe the Word of God. And I believe everything that takes place. Somebody says, well, that's foolish. No, it's not. It's faith. It's faith. This is the way God's people believe with regard to the Word of God. Verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that's eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. All food was to be found in the ark. They didn't go fishing. Everything that you needed was found in the ark. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, what I want us to think of, even before we begin looking at the dimensions God gives of the ark, is the fact that this ark has one purpose, to give us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the way the scripture says, that rock was Christ? Speaking of the rock Moses smote and water came out of it, well, this ark is Christ. As a matter of fact, I think the Lord was speaking from inside the ark when he said, come into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. Come in right now. And this ark is given to represent to us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his person and his work. Now, the ark is for salvation. Didn't need the ark for destruction, did you? The one purpose of this ark was for salvation. And this ark was given so that men and women might be saved. And everybody in the ark and everything in the ark was saved. Everybody and everything outside of the ark was drowned. Now look in verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now this is not talking about a type of wood like cypress. It's interesting, but everything I could read said it must have been made out of cypress wood. There was a lot of cypress wood there, or oak, or whatever you'd make a boat out of. This is talking about wood that was cut for these specifications. Now this ark was huge. And it took 120 years for Noah to build this ark. You think about that. Him and his family working on this ark every day. Maybe he hired other people to help him during the time. I don't know. But this ark was huge. Now, if it's, look at the dimensions. The length of the ark shall be, this is verse 15. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, it's debated how much a cubit is, anywhere between 18 and 21 inches. But let's just stick with 18. 450 feet is the length. A football field's 300 feet, so it half again that size. 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, about five-story building. Now, three different levels to house all this food and all these animals. You know, this thing was larger than the Titanic. No doubt it was the largest structure ever built up to that point. And 120 years it was in building, and I think this is glorious. Noah wasn't told to consult with the architects of his day or the builders of his day. There wasn't anything left to freelance. He did things exactly as God said to do. Now, everybody in this ark, oh, I pray that God will cause every one of us to enter into the ark. Everyone, without exception, in this ark was preserved and saved. No one was destroyed in the ark. Everyone outside of the ark, without exception, was destroyed. Not one man, not one animal outside the ark survived. All in Christ are saved. All in Christ, without exception, are saved. All outside of Christ are damned. God is just. God is holy. You saw that description of man, and that describes me and you by nature, but God entered into a covenant with Noah and with every other believer. Everybody in Christ is saved. Everybody outside of Christ is destroyed. And one thing I'm sure, there was not a sign on that ark while the rain was coming down and people trying to get in, perhaps at that time after the door had already been closed, saying, "Smile, God loves you." That wasn't there. This is about God's judgment. This is about God's salvation. Salvation for all in the ark. Now notice in verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." That's talking about axed wood, that it was made for these specifications. I don't know how long the pieces were, but "make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms." Notice this, "rooms shalt thou make in the ark." Now, in this one ark, there were many rooms. Now, the scripture that came to my mind to think of, what's this have to do with the gospel? Paul said in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." All the spiritual blessings, the rooms that are in the one ark. Rooms, plural, shalt thou make in that one ark. Now, all of God's salvation is in Christ. All the rooms of His salvation are in Christ. And we can think of a lot of rooms. There's the room of election. The Father choosing a people in Christ before the foundation of the world and entering into covenant with Him. There's the room of redemption, where all my sins are paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. There's the room of justification, how every believer stands before God just because of what Christ did for them, without sin, without guilt. There's the room of regeneration, where God gives you a new nature, a holy nature that causes you to believe the gospel and to repent of everything contrary to the gospel. There's the room of acceptance, where you're accepted in the beloved. This room of sonship, where God actually makes you a son. Rooms were in the one ark. Every aspect of God's salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the scripture just as accepted in the beloved. God hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, people have speculated whether there were stalls to keep the animals separated, and that's what these rooms were, perhaps. But, you know, these animals had to have had their natures changed when they entered into the ark. I guess they were like they were before the fall, when they were all plant-eating at that time. They had their natures changed as they entered into the ark. Perhaps these rooms were for Noah and his family and whatever. All the rooms lets us know that all of salvation is in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. These rooms represent all spiritual blessings in Christ. Now notice what it says in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now pitch, it's a black tarry substance made from petroleum. It's a petroleum of some kind. And he said, take, I don't know if they had a paintbrush or whatever, but he smeared the ark completely within and without with pitch, with this black tarry substance that it would keep the water from entering in from with through the cracks. Pitch it with pitch. Now, this is what is so amazing, and this is just another example of how we know the Bible is the Word of God. That word pitch is the same word translated atonement. Atonement. What is it that kept the wrath of God, the judgment of God, out of the ark? The pitch. The atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, His atonement, His death on Calvary's tree, listen to me real carefully. His death on Calvary's tree is the only reason God's wrath won't overcome me or you if we're in Christ. It's the only reason. It's not because of anything you've done. It's not because of anything you intend to do. It's because of the glorious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God-glorifying, sin-putting away death. The atonement of Christ is everything in salvation. This is how God saves sinners. God's judgment fell upon the ark. Everybody in the ark was saved. God's judgment fell upon Christ. The fire of God's wrath fell down upon Him. And everybody in Him was saved. Oh, the glory of this ark. Now, this is very important. Everybody in the ark, everything in the ark was saved. No exceptions. Everybody in Jesus Christ is saved. You see, when Christ shed His precious blood, He wasn't shedding it for all men without exception, hoping somebody would end up believing. That's blasphemous. There's no gospel in that message. If Christ can die for someone and they end up being destroyed, then I know I'll end up being destroyed and you will too. That's not the way. This thought of Jesus Christ making salvation available is anti-gospel. It's anti-Christ. There's no gospel in it. There's no hope for the sinner in that message. Somebody says, well, what about folks that Christ didn't die for? Listen to me. If you want to be saved by His grace, He died for you. If you're a sinner, He died for you. If you're somebody who needs Him, He died for you. And somebody says, well, I don't feel any of those things. Well, what do you care then? What do you care? But if you're somebody who needs to be accepted by God through what Christ did, He died for you. But understand this, Christ died for the elect. I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. The particular successful atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you some words that the King James Version uses to translate this same word, pitch. It's also translated appease. It's translated make atonement. It's translated cleanse. I like this. It's translated disannul. Disannul. His blood made it to where it never happened. He put the sin away. It's translated forgive. It's translated be merciful. It's translated pacify. It's translated pardon. It's translated purge away. It's translated put off. It's translated make reconciliation. And notice it says it was pitched within and without. On the outside, there was nothing but pitch, that black tarry substance. On the inside, same thing. You know what's going to keep you on the inside? the atonement of Christ. That's why you're going to persevere. That's why you're going to continue. If it had anything to do with your works, you'd fall away, and you know you would. But thank God, because of the pitch on the inside, that's what keeps you on the inside. The glorious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder Peter called the blood of Christ precious blood? Oh, how precious His blood is to the Father. How precious His blood is to every believer. Now look in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 6. We read of the rooms. We read of the pitch within and without, the atonement, atonement with atonement. You could actually say that. Atonement with atonement. And then in verse 15, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. And the height of it, 30 cubits. Now we read of the length, the breadth, and the height. And let me tell you something about the length of God's salvation. It's real long. You know how long? Infinite on either side. It's eternal. If God has saved me or you, we've been saved by Him in eternity. And we will be saved eternally. That's the length. What about the breadth? This was a big ark. And it could come, the biggest animals could fit into it. Listen, the breadth of this ark is so big that the biggest sinner can come into this ark to ever live. The most wicked, evil person, there's room for that person. I don't care how sinful they are, there's room for that person. Oh, the breadth, but it's so narrow that if you have anything other than Christ, you can't get in. You can't get in. If you have anything other than Christ, that's the breadth of it. The only way you can get in is if all you have is Christ. Anything else will make it too small for you. And what about the height of it? The height of this salvation seats me in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's how high this is. The length, the breadth, and the height. Verse 16. A window. Not two windows. A window. Now this is a big structure. I mean, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, yet one little window. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Now there was only one source of light. Why couldn't he have made 10 windows or 100 windows? Well, I'm sure they could have, but this is to teach us something. There's only one source of light. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He's the only source of light. He's the light of how somebody like Noah. Now, look at this description of Noah in chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, a natural man will look at that and think, well, Noah was just a really good, righteous person, and that's why God picked him out of the rest of the people. What a description. Look in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, would God just overlook what Noah was and say, well, I'm going to see him as righteous, even though he's not. Now, no. Well, what about this man Noah? Well, you read in Genesis chapter 9, what did he do when he got off the ark? He planted a vineyard and became drunken. And now I don't know what all was going on with him and his son, but his son saw him in his nakedness. Noah was a sinner. Amen? Noah was a sinner. And he was in God's sight perfect, just, and righteous. Now, how in the world can that be? The only way that can be understood is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin became his sin. He bore it. He was punished for it. He put it away. And his perfect righteousness becomes my very righteousness. Christ Jesus is the light as to how that can be. God can look at Todd Nybert and say there's no sin in him. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's without sin. That's true of every believer. And when the Lord said that, I am the light of the world, it was right after they had that woman who was taken in adultery in the very act. There wasn't any doubt about her guilt. Eyewitnesses to this. They bring her to Christ to see what he would say. They thought they had him trapped. If he says, condemn her, we can say, what happened to your mercy? If he says, let her go, we can say, where's your respect for the law? We've got it. And I love what the Lord said. He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. That's so powerful. And then he looked at that woman and he said, woman, does no man condemn thee? You see, they'd all left, her condemners. She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Why? Nothing to condemn her for. That Christ is the light as to how that could be. There was one window, one light. And listen to this. There was only one way to look up. That window was in the ceiling. You weren't to look horizontally at what was going on. The only way you could look was up. You know, looking at what's going on right now, I got no idea. I don't know what the Lord's doing. He does, but I don't. I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's in control. And I can't look horizontally at everything in my sight and the things that are going here and come up with some fast answer. I don't need to. I look up. The Lord's in control. He's in control of everybody and everything and every event, and his will is being done. I don't look horizontally. Every believer is called upon to look vertically to him. You had to look up to get any light. You didn't get light from looking at your surroundings. Looking unto Jesus. Now, look back in verse 16. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above that one window and the door of the ark. There's one door, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. And then we read of the lower, second, and third stories. One door. I loved the way the Lord said in verse 17, Behold, I bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. Chapter 7, verse 1. Come thou. And all thy house into the ark. In through that door, Christ is the door. And he's speaking from within the ark when he says, come in. If he was outside of the ark, he'd said, go in. Go in. But he's speaking from within the ark when he says, come in. Into this one door. Now, what's a door for? Well, a door's to let people in. That's the purpose of a door. Christ said, I am the door. What's a door for? To let people out. To set them free. What's a door for? To keep people in. You know, the scripture says he shut the door. The Lord himself shut the door. He shut them into the ark. It's to keep people in. You know, if you're a believer, you know why you'll persevere? It's because you're kept in. You know what else the door's for? It's to keep people out. Anybody that comes pleading their own works, they're not going to gain an entrance. Listen to me, if you come with nothing, you're going to gain an entrance. You're going to be, come on in, come and welcome. If you bring anything of your own, if you have anything to recommend you to God, the door is shut to you. There were three levels to the ark. Why not two? Why not four? I have no doubt that these three levels represent the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, salvation is a Trinitarian salvation in this sense. If you're saved, it's because God the Father elected you before time began to be saved. If you're saved, it's because God the Son redeemed you on Calvary's tree. If you're saved, it's because God the Holy Spirit gave you life, gave you faith, gave you repentance. He did all these things, but you know, you don't know anything about the Trinity. You're clueless. You just know a word and you know nothing concerning the Trinity unless you see that all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of God the Father, all the fullness of God the Son, all the fullness of God the Spirit dwelleth in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I see or believe that, I'd never understand it. I wouldn't say I understand it, but I believe it. When you believe that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the body of Jesus Christ, you have some understanding, some knowledge of the Trinity, and not before then. All of God's salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come in. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now let's look at one other detail with regard to this ark. Look in verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all food that's eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded, so did he. All the food, everything that was necessary for sustenance, was in the ark. You didn't go outside of the ark for anything. It was all in the ark. Noah didn't go out and fish. Well, we were running out of food. We need some fish. He didn't have to go outside of the ark for anything, did he? Everything that was needed was in the ark. And my dear friend, everything God requires of you, everything you need for sustenance, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else is needed. You know, I've already quoted that scripture, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what it says next? You are complete. Nothing lacking. No other needs. You are complete. in him. And did you know that the dimensions of this ark, like I said, it was a barge. It didn't have a bow. It wasn't made to cut through the waters. It was just a barge. But do you know that this barge is the perfect engineering sailing vessel that could not be capsized? No matter how rough the waters were, this is the perfect dimensions for a floating. They tried to duplicate it, and it can't be capsized. In Christ Jesus, you are so secure, so complete. Oh, the salvation that is in the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. God said to Noah and his family, come in to the ark. Now listen to me real carefully. Nobody in this room can say, I want in Christ and he won't let me in. You come, you will be received. Somebody says, well, what do you mean by come? I mean, I can't see him physically. What do you mean by coming to Christ? He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming and believing is the precise same thing. You believe on Christ. That means you trust who he is and what he did as all that's needed to make you perfect before God. You're coming to Christ. May God give us all grace to come into the ark. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for our glorious ark, thy Son. How we thank you for his glorious atonement. How we thank you for all the glorious rooms that are in him. How we thank you for your salvation. How we thank you for the light, the window that lets us know how we can be accepted by you. How we thank you for the door into the ark. And Lord, our prayer is that we might be found in him. I bless these words for your glory and our good. And Lord, meet with us tonight. We pray that we might have your presence and that your gospel would be preached. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Dwayne.